This morning I'm going to teach on four ways to get over the walls that hinder your progress. What happens when you hit a brick wall going 60 miles per hour? Your car ends up in pieces. You end up battered and bruised, and it hurts. Spiritually, how can you pick yourself back up when you've hit a wall? Peter was going top speed. Is anybody too hot? Everybody's too hot? You have to forgive Chris. His thermostat does not work properly. If you notice, in summertime, he has three sweaters on. Long johns on underneath his pants. Two pair of socks. You know, whatever it takes to keep him warm, that's the way he is. So it's his thermostat's out of whack, not ours, right? So we just have, if you're hot, you just have to say, and he'll just have to put on a jacket, all right? I've seen many with a jacket and a little hoodie on. I said, hat on. I said, get that hat off. Yes, keep his head warm so the rest of it's warm, right? All right, spiritually, how can you pick yourself up back up when you've hit a wall? Peter was going top speed with Jesus, ministering at every opportunity, dining with the master, and learning new things every day. Now that's us, right? Peter was going top speed with Jesus, ministering at every opportunity, dining with the master, and learning new things every day. Jesus even lifted him up to be one of the chosen three, one of Jesus' closest friends. Then right when Peter thought everything was going great, Jesus was arrested. Just when you think everything is going great. Matthew 26:50, and Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. They arrested him. First, Peter tried fighting back, but Jesus told him not to. Isn't that what God tells us? Matthew 26:51-52 says, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Peter followed from a distance, and some of us in here today, we're still following Jesus from a distance, ready to run to Jesus' aid if the opportunity arose. But then the weirdest thing happened. People offered Peter an opportunity to speak up, and every time Peter denied his calling in order to save his own skin. Matthew 26:34-35 says, Jesus said to Peter, "Assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. You know, as I was typing and reading this scripture, you know, I thought, you know, today if the ISIS or somebody gets a hold of you, they either shoot you or cut your head off, you know, it's done. But in those days, what Peter had to look forward to was hanging on that cross. You know, a difference. Matthew 26. But that doesn't still give him any reason for doing what he did, all right? Matthew 26:69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and his servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But Peter denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when Peter had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, Peter denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." But this is the same man who said, "I'll go to death with you." Some of you in here, you're thinking that day, "I'll die for Jesus." But when the time comes, will you really? And don't be like Peter, "Oh, yeah, I will." No, you don't know what you're going to do until the time comes. Verse 73, and after a while, I hope you all die for him, though. And after a while, those who stood by came to Peter and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, because your speech betrays you." Then Peter began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Jesus knows all things. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter denied he even knew Jesus. Peter truly hit a wall. Some of you sitting in here today, you might be Peter one day. And you might have to decide, am I going to stand for Christ or am I going to reject him? And what God has been telling us is to stand firm until the end. Don't reject him. If you have to die for him, then die for him. But die for him in grace, not kicking and screaming. Jesus didn't die kicking and screaming, did he? He died very quietly, didn't he? Peter's wall was two parts. One, Jesus didn't do what Peter expected. Jesus died. Number two, Peter didn't act the way he expected himself to. Peter failed to support his friend. Your wall is going to be two parts too. This little teaching here is for you to just to think about what you're going to do and then stick with it and not let last minute occurrences make you change your mind. Have you ever hit that kind of a wall? God doesn't do what you expected. Life doesn't turn out like you thought it would, or even worse. You don't act the way you thought you would. Let's read that again. Have you ever hit that kind of a wall? God doesn't do what you expected. Life doesn't turn out like you thought it would, or even worse. You don't act the way you thought you would. How many of you in here this morning, situations have come into your life and before they came, you thought you would act a certain way, if it ever happened to you, but when it happened to you, you just go berserk. You don't act any way that you thought you would have acted, right? Peter not only survived smashing into the brick wall, but just a short time later, he came back strong, standing up and being the person God called him to be. Let's read this again. Peter not only survived smashing into the brick wall, but just a short time later, he came back strong, standing up and being the person God called him to be. Coming back strong. Let's look at Peter's recovery and see what we can learn. Number one, get some time alone. After Jesus rose from the dead, the angel told the woman in Mark 16:7, but go and tell his disciples and Peter, that always tickled me, they singled Peter out, that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. It appears Peter was not with the others. He got away by himself, probably to lick his wounds and beat himself up for a while. How many of us have done that? Time alone is important. Just like time in the hospital after a real accident, time alone will help your brain adjust to your new reality and rest from the shock of what you just did. All right? Forgive God. It feels like we should never need to forgive God. After all, he is God, right? Yet when he doesn't act like we think he should, we hold it in, afraid to let him know we are disappointed and hurt. A real relationship is one where you can admit your hurt, your frustration, and your anger. Let God know what you're thinking. Everybody has the body of Christ believing you cannot ever be normal with God. And so they don't let out and vent with God the way they're thinking about God. And then therefore they end up shipwrecked. We can vent with God. We can tell God what we're thinking. We can tell God how we're feeling. And we can tell God how disappointed we are in the way he made things turn out. He understands us. We're flesh. And he knows that. David and Jeremiah are particularly good at this. They wrote what we call laments, prayers that say, God, you said you'd do this, or this is who you are. But this is my reality. They don't match. I need you to show up. Let's read that again. David and Jeremiah are particularly good at this. They wrote what we call laments, prayers that say, God, you said you'd do this, or this is who you are. But this is my reality. They don't match. I need you to show up. As long as you keep it bottled up, you are not able to let God fix the problem. Are you hearing this? As long as you keep it bottled up, you are not able to let God fix the problem. Just think about yourselves. How many, you just don't raise your hand or anything, but think about yourself. How many of you in here have kept things bottled up? never talked about them, thinking they were going to go away. But they never went away. They just kept getting bottled up. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, the cap blows off, and then you have a mess. And I don't know about you, but I used to do that, and I think if I would have only spoke about it when it happened, I wouldn't have all this other mess to go along with it. If I would have spoke about when it happened, it would have been done and over with. But not wanting to make any waves, kept it bottled up. And eventually it erupted, and then I had a big mess. So I'm telling you this morning, if you run into a circumstance, get it cleared up right now. Don't bottle it up. Why do we bottle it up? We bottle it up for a couple of reasons. One of them is for fear of what the consequences are going to be. It doesn't matter what the consequences are. Get it out in the open and get it cleared up. All right, I said, as long as you keep it bottled up, you're not able to let God fix the problem. Instead, talk to him and let him know your heart. Yes, God does know what is going on in your heart, but you need to say it. You hear me? You need to say it. Remember the last time you had a real fight with a loved one. Not the kind where you yell it out and get over it, but the kind where you get mad and then keep up appearances. This is what our fights with God look like. We pretend everything is all right, waiting for the anger to go away. But God wants something more. He wants your heart. He wants you to share your anger, pain, and frustration with him, and then wait. He will meet you there. I was praying yesterday afternoon, and I said, oh God, I'm not even going to bother telling you what this is all about because you already know. He said, but I want to hear it. I want to hear it. He wanted to hear what my version was of my little pea brain. Amen. Because my version of what it was all about was different than his. Are you understanding this? Number three, let God restore you. One day while Peter was busy at his old job fishing, Jesus showed up on the seashore. What a delight. Peter jumped into the water and raced for Jesus. By this time, Peter understood that Jesus' death wasn't the end. Yet Peter needed Jesus to help him go deeper. I want to stop there. By this time, Peter understood that Jesus' death wasn't the end. See, we need to understand that when circumstances come into our life, that is not the end of our life. That's just another rock in the road. You're just another stumbling block. You have to keep on walking. Yet Peter needed Jesus to help him go deeper. And this is what we need. We need Jesus to help us go deeper. Later after breakfast, the real work happened. Jesus took Peter for a walk. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus came and took you for a walk? In ways we don't fully understand, Jesus restored Peter to himself. Peter had to forgive himself. Did you hear that? Peter had to forgive himself. And in the midst of that walk, the pain and anguish of failure fell away. Peter became again the person he was created to be. Some of us sitting in here this morning, we know we don't feel like we let God down. We know we let God down. And then we keep whining to ourselves about, why did I ever do that? Why did I let God down? You might even say to God, God, I'm so sorry I let you down. Well, let go of that. You let him down? Let go of that. And let God restore you back into your rightful relationship with him. There isn't one of us sitting in here this morning that isn't going to let God down. You know, there isn't. You might let him down every day. But what you do is you repent and you go back into his arms. Let him restore you. And just like Peter, you become again the person God has created you to be. The reason why so many Christians are falling is because they have failed God in some way. And they don't understand that God's just waiting for you to say, I'm sorry. And then he'll restore you back into your rightful place. And so instead of people doing that, they just walk away from God. They say, what's the use? I'll never get it right. Yes, you will. That's the enemy making you believe you're never going to get it right. You are going to get it right if you stay with God. But if you walk away like the enemy wants you to, you'll never get it right. See, the problem is that somehow or other we've been programmed to believe that, you know, if we can't get it right the first time, then we're not going to get it right the second time. But that's not true. God gives us chance after His grace. His grace is so sufficient. He gives us chance after chance after chance. Number three, wait for new direction. When you hit a brick wall going 60 miles an hour, you have some questions. Was that wall an obstacle you need to get around? Was it caused by something you did wrong? Does that brick wall mean God is taking you in a new direction? All these questions will be answered in time. The important thing for you to do is to let the healer do his work. I mean, when I'm talking about a wall, I'm talking about different situations that occur in your life. The circumstances that come up in your life every day. And these are the questions you ask. Did I do something wrong? Was this God ordained you? And we just ask question after question. Hand it over to God. Let God take care of it. You don't have the answers for it. If you did, you would be God. Come on. We don't have any answers for anything that happens in our life. But God has all the answers. And if we'll just stay in the hands of God, He will heal us and He will bring us forth. You know, as I was typing this, I was thinking about Samson. You know, Samson had all that strength. And he kept fooling around with these ladies. And finally he told his secret to one of the ladies and got his hair cut off, and so he had no strength. Put in prison, his eyes gouged out. But he cried out to God, his hair grew back. And he cried out to God, give me one more chance. And, you know, as I was typing this, I thought about that. You know, because a while back, quite a few years ago, God gave me that scripture one day. I was doing something. Samson shook himself, and there was no strength. That's the way he put it to me, and that is the way it was. And see, we think we can keep on sinning, or we can keep coming against God, and there's never a consequence. But when God gave me that line, I knew what he was saying. I better watch myself. Because I would think, oh, well, you know, I messed up, but the anointing's still there. I messed up, the anointing's still there. One day I was going to be like Samson. I was going to shake myself. There wasn't going to be no anointing. All right? But what God did with Samson is, Samson's hair, when he was in prison, his hair grew back. And he asked God, give me one more chance. And God let him destroy all those enemies in that Colosseum. And he died with them. But God restored him before he died. Are you understanding this? So if you're a great prophet and you may keep messing up, one day you're going to go prophesy and it's not going to be there. If you have healing powers, you keep messing up, one day you're going to lay hands on somebody and the healing is not going to occur. Because you're going to be just like Samson. You kept shaking yourself, believing God was always going to be with you. And God is always with you. But the anointing is going to leave. Well, I sinned this time and got away with it, so I'm all right. You don't know whenever that sin's going to be the time when you sin that it's not going to be all right. Because God is not going to let his children continue to sin any longer. He's saying, I want you. And I want you 100%. And yes, my grace is sufficient. And yes, I do forgive. But it's time now you walk the right path. You do the things I'm calling you for to do and quit using my grace as an excuse to sin. All right? Even if you ran into the wall because you were running from God, he put that wall there and he will help you find what comes next. Are you listening to that? I mean, these are things I've gone through, so I know what I'm talking about. Even if you ran into the wall because you were running from God, he put that wall there and he will help you find what comes next. And by running from God, I mean, you know, God, you might have grown weary. And you say, God, I'm just too tired to keep going. And he's saying, get up and keep going, but you're just sitting. So you're running away from God. So he'll give you a wall to run into. He will get your attention. Believe me, he will. A few weeks later, Peter was in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell. Where was Peter at? He was in the upper room with the rest, wasn't he? Jerusalem was full that day. Many of the people who just 50 days before had cried, crucify him, were back for another festival. When the 120 in the upper room spilled out into the street, a crowd formed. This time, When the people in the crowd noticed something was different about Peter, he didn't shy away, hoping not to be noticed. This time, when the people in the crowd noticed something was different about Peter, he didn't shy away, hoping not to be noticed. The same man who had denied his calling 50 days earlier got up and preached a sermon of his life. It's not over, saints, until it's over. It's not going to be over until Jesus Christ comes for his church. So let's just keep getting back up again, and let's just keep going. The same man who denied his calling 50 days earlier got up and preached the sermon of his life. Peter preached with power, knowledge, and conviction. He stood in the anointing of the Holy Spirit and proclaimed the saving power of Jesus to all who would listen. 3,000 people came to know Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit and the voice of one who knew the devastation of hitting a brick wall and finding God's restoration. And there was three powerful preachers that, you know, were taken out of their churches for a season. And the one, when they fell, God told me, he says, don't you dare judge them because I'm going to bring them back. And they're going to be more powerful when they came back than what they were when they left. And they're back. And they've been back for quite some time, but with great power. God has totally and completely restored them. That's why when somebody falls, it's not your job to kick them to death. It's your job to pray for them, to encourage them, and to help them get back up again. Because God doesn't want them down for the count. He wants them to get back up again and go on. God knows where you are. If you've hit a brick wall, it is because God is at work and he has great things for you. You hear me? Take time to heal. Tell God how you feel. Let him restore you and wait for new direction. It will be worth it. Take time to heal. That's important. Tell God how you feel. Let him restore you. Let him restore you and wait for new direction. It will be worth it. Did you get that in your spirit? So you have hit your blank wall. You were shattered into 1,000 pieces. What is next? Well, Peter picked himself up, went on to do marvelous exploits for the Lord. What are you going to do? Are you going to pick yourself up? Peter picked himself up. You know, what my father always told me when I was down. Grab yourself by the bootstraps and pull yourself back up because nobody else is going to. So Peter picked himself up. And I'm telling each one of you, pick yourself up by your bootstraps because nobody else is going to do it. They're going to stand there and applaud because you're down. So you're going to pick your own self up. Do you know how many people, if you're really anything in Christ, do you know how many people are standing by just waiting for you to fall? Do you understand that? They're just waiting. They just know you're going to fall. They just know you're going to do a blunder that you're not going to be able to come out of. One time I wanted to close the doors and God said, don't you understand that all the pastors in this area are just waiting for you to do that? They're just waiting to say, I told you so. I wouldn't close them doors now if they were rotting off the hinges. Amen. So do you know how many people are standing around waiting for you to fall? Don't fall. You might falter. You might hit that blank wall. But don't fall. Do what I was telling you here this morning. It really does work. It really does work. So Peter picked himself up and went on to do marvelous exploits for the Lord. God is commanding us to do the very same thing. You have licked your wounds long enough. Come on. If you've been down and out, then you've licked your wounds long enough. God wants you to get back up again, and he wants you to go forth so he can use you to do the mighty works he called you to do. This is your resurrection time. This is resurrection time for the body of Christ. Mark 16:14-20 says, afterward, he, Jesus, appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You know, even though these people walked with Jesus, they still had unbelief and hardness of heart and wouldn't believe the other ones that saw him. We're all the same. Let's not say, oh, because we do the same thing. Come on. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is what God is saying to us in here this morning. I've hit the blank wall and we've recovered. He's saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out. This is what you're all supposed to be doing. We're all supposed to be doing. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's what Jesus said. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. This is where we're at right now. God is saying, you've licked your wounds long enough. Now get up and go and proclaim the gospel to the world. And it says in verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, just not on a street corner, but everywhere, the Lord working with them. See, this is what I like, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Where's all the signs and wonders? Well, where are you? God needs to use you. He needs to work through you. Are you still licking your wounds? Or have you decided, hey, I've sat here in this hole long enough. I'm going to get up out of this hole. I'm going to dust myself off. And I'm going to go forth and do the works that God told me to do. Peter came back better than what he was before he fell, wasn't he? I think of Peter. You know, they say that he was an outspoken young man. Rough. But I believe him. When he walked with Jesus, he probably had a lot to say. Yeah, I just believe he was like a thorn in Jesus' flesh. He was constantly going on and on. If you read what he did, he really did some things, didn't he? But look what how God used him. Powerfully. Luke 22:31 says, Simon, stay on your toes. Now this is for all you people. Simon, you need to put your name there. Alan, Nancy, Chris, whatever. Stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me like chaff from wheat. Simon, I've prayed for you in particular. See, God, Jesus must really love Simon, even though John was his beloved. He must really love Peter, or else he really thought Peter might go off half cock somewhere. He said, Simon, I've prayed for you in particular that you not give in or give out. See, because he gave in one time, right? When you have come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start. So what God is saying here is that Peter, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat. And he is going to sift you because he says, when you have come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start. He is going to sift Peter, but then he's telling Peter when your sifting's all done, get back on the job. So everybody in here I know has been through the sifting more times than you cared to be. I keep saying to God, how much smaller are the holes going to be? Because each sifting got harder, didn't it? Well, the sifting's over now. Now it's time for us to rise up and do the work that God is calling us forth to do. We're supposed to go forth as true disciples of the living God. And I don't want you just sitting here thinking, oh, this is good, this is neat. I want it to get into your spirit so you go forth and do it. If you're not going to do it, then God's going to have the world do it. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want somebody that's been a prostitute for 50 years coming in and take my place. I mean, I'm not running that down. But I'm just saying, this is what God's going to do. So would you rather you go ahead and carry your own mantle that God has given you and go ahead and finish the job that God has given you? Or do you want him to give your mantle to somebody else? You know, it's up to us whether God gives us our mantle to somebody else or not. Then Peter said, Master, I'm ready for anything with you. I go to jail for you. I die for you. And Jesus said, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Peter, but before the rooster crows, you will have three times tonight that you know me. All right, you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, I would never do that. You know what? I never do that, but I found out I've done, I mean things in my life. Boy, I would never do that. I can't believe they're doing it. I'd never do that. Well, guess what? Found myself doing it. I thought, I can't believe I'm doing this. So this is the same thing with your walk with Jesus. Oh, I would never deny Christ. You don't know that. I'll follow you all the way, Jesus. You don't know that. See, you don't know what the enemy is going to place before your feet. You don't know what kind of a person he's going to bring into your life. It is a struggle to stay a Christian. I'm just being honest. It is a struggle to stay a Christian. Because, you know, I was reading in that book that we're reading where this guy said the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. And I really do believe that. What goes on in the spirit, God said, you just don't understand what's going on in the spiritual realm. No, we don't. But we need to become more aware of what's going on in the spirit realm. And quit worrying about this natural realm and be concerned about what's going on above us. Because what's going on above us is where all this junk comes from that gets on us. And if we realize that Satan's up there just really, he's really playing a really good game. He has everything in order. And he's not about to give up. And Jesus is saying, I'm there too. And I have a good game plan too. But it's up to you who wins this game. He called it a tug of war. And so a lot of you are sitting here this morning saying, boy, I would never do this. I never do that. I never do a drug. I never become a prostitute. You don't know what you're going to do. So you need to quit saying, I'm never going to do. Live one day at a time and live it to the best of your knowledge in Christ Jesus. Just hope and pray to God you make it through. There's always something there that Satan will place before your feet to cause you to fall. And if you're not rooted and grounded in Christ, if you're always saying, I'm not going to do this, you're going to do it. He's going to cause you to do it. But for the grace of God, there go I. A lot of things I watch people do and I say, God, for your grace, I could be in the very same shoes. When I was younger, I wasn't wild at all, but I liked to sing and I liked to dance and I liked to play the piano. I could have went a different way than I did. My girlfriend went that way, but I decided not to go that way because we did these things together. And but for the grace of God, there go I. I know God was keeping me. And that's why I didn't go that way. Do you understand you're not where other people are because the grace of God is keeping you? And even though God had special plans for my life, I could abort all those special plans. God won't abort them, but I can abort them by turning the other way. Doing something and I say, I'll never do that. Are you listening? All those brick walls that you've been hitting all your life, every one of them had a purpose in it. Every one of them had a lesson to learn. And every one of them was to strengthen us and give us better character. It depends what you did after you hit the wall. That's what counts. Hitting the wall isn't what counts. It's what you did after. And did you turn it all over to God? Did you give him full control of your life? And when you said, God, I'll never do that again, did you never really do it again? Or did 2 seconds pass and you was doing it again? Are you listening here? You know, the church is so busy condemning the world and they themselves are going to hell in a handbasket. You know, my grandson, you know, he's addicted. He goes to that clinic because he does drugs. And Teresa Ann's been driving him back and forth, and she's been meeting some of the people he runs with. You know, every one of them tell her how well he knows the Bible. Every one of them tells her how he helps the down and outers up there on the street. Every one of them says that he's actually made them change the way they think. And every one of them tells him, I can't believe he's not preaching the gospel because he has the heart of Jesus in him. But yet there's others who are condemning him to no end. And see, when he started his drugs, God told me, love him at all costs. He needs you to love him at all costs, and your love will bring him forth. There's times he was very unlovable because him and I were really always close, and when he got at my face and cussed me, he became very unlovable. But God said, love him. God put a love in me that I just can't. It's just there. And now I'm hearing all these wonderful reports of what he's doing on the street. So I said to my husband, I said, I wonder what he is really on the street for. You know? Because he's spreading the gospel. If somebody, he knows somebody's in the wrong place, he'll go get them and take them to the right place. So judge not, lest ye be judged. If you're at your brick wall within, turn around to God, because he's waiting. Quit judging yourself so harshly. There isn't a person in the world that hasn't hit a brick wall at one point in their life. They just don't tell about it. They just try to make you think they're perfect. Amen. God's word says strive for perfection. Isn't that what it says? So that doesn't give you a right to sin, no. God's grace does not give you a right to sin. David sinned one time and he never did the same thing twice. And David did some pretty bad things. But I loved him just like God loved him. Amen. Because just like he was a man after God's heart, he's a man after my heart too, because I look at this man and saw the different things he did, and it made me realize, hey, he was human like I'm human. He knew God in a very special way, and God loved him. So why don't you think about that yourself? We're all human. Only one person was on this earth human and didn't sin, and that was Jesus Christ. Amen. If you feel like you've been going through the sifting process, God wants you to know that the sifting's about over. And you're about ready to reach your place in Christ where he's going to thrust you forth and to use you mightily. And he doesn't want you to give up. Now's not, some of you are thinking about giving up. Now's not the time to give up. Now is the time to keep going like you've never gone before. Are you listening? You know, Sister Nancy called me the other day. She was crying and she said, the Spirit of God's over me. She said, God gave me that scripture that it says, I forgot what it said. What did it say, Nancy? Yeah, when Satan goes before God and requests you, so he can try you. And God said, I said, no, Satan went before the throne of God and said he wanted me again. And God said, no, she's proven herself to me. She's not going to leave me. And he had just told me a month ago, Satan's testing you is over. But I was still going through some things. So when Nancy called and told me that the other day, I was just beside myself. And so you see, it does come a time when the sifting stops. And all the testing does stop. When does that time come? That time comes when you've proven to God and to Satan that you're not going to leave God no matter what Satan does to you. You're going to stay with him no matter what. You're going to finish your course. So I want each one of you to be encouraged in here tonight. It doesn't matter how hard your wall is that you just hit. God's there at that wall with you. And he is bringing you forth. And I'm hearing him say, in more power than you've ever had before. And please remember Samson. That anointing can wane. And you can just sin and then shake yourself, then sin and shake yourself, and sin and shake yourself, and nothing's there. So let's quit doing this sin. Let's just put our hands in God's hands. And let's go forth with God and complete the race. When I was first born again, I said, Jesus, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And he said, daughter, so is my church, which totally shook me to the core. But as I got into the church, I realized he always tells the truth. But I realized he was telling me the truth. And I'm sorry, guys, but some of you sitting in here today, you're not headed for heaven. You might be sitting in the house of God, but that does not mean you're going to heaven. What is your life? How are you living your life? What's your thought life? Think about those things. Think about Samson. Samson cried and he was very upset, but he didn't have no more power. I think it would be a terrible thing to lose your power to the devil and have to go through the rest of your life till Jesus took you home powerless. And the devil you might go to heaven, but he's laughing at you and making fun of you, belittling you every day that you live because you allowed him to take your power. Don't do that. Jesus has all we need. And Jesus is always there for us. It doesn't matter how hard of a road you've gone down. Jesus is always there to take your hand when you're ready to say, I repent and I'm sorry. And you receive Jesus into your life. This morning what God wants to do is, you who, you know, you've hit your brick wall many, many times and you've gotten up each and every time. But this morning, God wants to give you a special anointing that when you hit another brick wall, you won't fall down. You understand that this is from God ordained. And he's going to bring you through and you'll keep on working for him.